Hi, welcome to our reviews of The Next Generation. I am joined by Alan, Namir, and The Next Generation, Lola. And we are all Trekkies in one form or another.
The ugliness of the Uman was not an exaggeration.
Again, your alien image offends us.
What is Yankee Trader?
You're all so ugly. You're so ugly.
Oh, it's cool.
He heard us with his giant ears.
There was a lot of deep stuff to unpack with this one.
The Last Outpost, written by Herbert Wright, directed by Richard Krasemine. The Enterprise is chasing a Ferengi ship for stealing a mechanical MacGuffin from a Federation outpost. Both ships are stopped cold in orbit above a dead world, the last remaining outpost of the ancient Takan Empire that space archaeology buff Picard surprisingly knows nothing about. The crew believe the Ferengi are draining the ship of energy with some unknown weapon, and Picard makes the quick decision to surrender, but the Ferengi ship is having their power drained too. And the drain seems to be coming from the planet. The Ferengi send their own science team to the surface, comprised of three prancing and hissing trolls wielding spring-loaded electric pool noodles. The Ferengi immediately betray the Enterprise away team, and after a brief scuffle, they somehow take down both Data and Worf with barely any effort. A Takan Guardian named Portal awakens and threatens to destroy both ships if they don't prove themselves worthy. Riker's thoughtful wisdom impresses Portal. The Ferengi's goofball antics and fitting about do not. Riker convinces Portal to let the Enterprise go free, but rejects his offer to destroy the Ferengi, hoping that they will learn from all this. Spoiler alert, they won't. The episode wraps up with the crew beaming over some Chinese finger puzzles that they hope will confuse the hell out of the profit-seeking simpletons, after the puzzle already somehow trapped Data earlier. Like, why doesn't he just rip that thing apart with his super strength?
Let's just start off with, did we like or dislike this episode?
I really wanted to like it. The best single word to describe The Last Outpost is disappointing.
Like, once it ended, it was like, I didn't really have anything to say about it.
And you guys are so harsh. I liked it. I enjoyed watching it. For me, this was the first episode that I actually started to feel like it was kind of slipping into that Next Generation groove.
I didn't feel like any of the characters were themselves yet. Like, at least how I know them from later seasons, I don't feel like anyone's like really like in their like proper personality yet.
Season one is really like its own animal. It's almost like there were two shows. There were like season one and two, and then everything else after it.
But that might just be a result of what Lola was saying, right? Like the characters haven't really gelled yet.
Data, do you have any information touching this on any file?
None, sir. Only hearsay and third-hand reports, most of which conflict.
Which reports do not conflict?
That the Ferengi are, well, the best description may be traitors.
I like how there's a continuity that's starting to form here, where we've talked about the Ferengi in previous episodes at least once or twice, and they're kind of being built up. And then now we get to see the Ferengi for the first time. And I like the premise of the episode, although it reminds me a lot of Arena, and it's not as good as Arena. I think there's a lot of stuff going on in this, not just in this episode, but in the first season, where they're just lifting things from the original series. In this case, they're lifting from Arena and Trouble with Tribbles.
Your alien images again shock us.
Perhaps you would agree to a more productive relationship.
I prefer a more profitable one, you man.
Yankee Trader.
Explain what means Yankee Traders.
He heard that.
I just want to elaborate on my disappointment. This is the first introduction to the Ferengi. They're said to be, you know, violent, capitalist, you know, possibly cannibalistic. And there's a promise built into that this is going to be Next Generation's Klingons, where you have the Klingons as kind of a United States, Soviet Union, Cold War type thing. And now with Next Generation being in the 80s, you got these Ferengi who are like violent capitalists, kind of parallels, you know, the Reagan economics of the 80s. It was a good idea. That promise is never paid off.
Well, I think it was a mistake in the direction. I think they were directed to hop around like gerbils.
No female human or Ferengi can order Mordach around.
That was weird. That threw me. I was like, why are they dancing like Bob Fosse? You know, like, why are they, like, what are all these moves about? If they were supposed to be set up as a major adversary, they weren't really. You couldn't take them seriously. As soon as you saw them, you were like, these guys are a joke.
No, I agree. It was weird. Because I think, because, you know, you've shown me a few episodes of Deep Space Nine, and there's that one Ferengi who, like, lives on board. Is that Quark? Yeah, so I remember him, like, having, like, totally normal conversations with other crew members. Just like, yeah, you know, if you want to buy my gold, that'd be great. And obviously he's, like, manipulative, but he's smart, and he talks, like, normally. But then in this episode, like, they're behaving strangely. They're kind of, like, jumping around, and they're not acting like the Ferengi we know today.
We Ferengi are now challenged this human madness.
Everything's being introduced a little strangely, but then it all gets figured out in the end, I suppose.
I think if they're trying to present them as war, like in terms of the design, as a warrior culture, they're warrior capitalists, but then the acting just takes it in a totally other direction.
Who are you?
I love the Ferengi whips. Like, that, I miss that they don't come back after that episode. Yeah,
that spring-loaded plastic thing, it looks stupid, and it didn't look like a convincingly scary weapon. Like,
when all the weapons are deactivated, the whips become this erect phallic.
Maybe they're just like a one-off crew where they're like just escapees from a mental institution or something, and then, you know, the later Ferengi are the ones we come to know more, you know, and be used to, like, because these guys are a bunch of meth heads.
They shamelessly clothe their females, inviting others to unclothe them, the very depth of perversion.
Off, Ferengi.
They also did that, like, sexist alien trope again, where the Ferengi were like, you force your women to be clothed, that means we must unclothe her. And it was similar to, like in Code of Honor, they're like, oh, like, you work with your women. Like, there's a lot of, like, having the other, like, the other of the show, of the episode, I mean, making a weird woman comment.
A woman? Your chief of security?
Misogyny is rampant in the sectors that they're exploring in their early next generation.
Because it's like, I don't know. I haven't seen every episode, so I feel like they must meet like a matriarchal society at some point. Just right. It's gonna take a.
They will. You know, 10 episodes.
Yeah, but it seems like it's like the easiest, laziest way to depict a race as not as socially advanced as the Federation.
Yeah, I agree.
Captain, if I may recommend, with our attention on the Ferengi vessel, we have ignored the planet.
Data, consult the charts on this planet. See what we've got on it.
I like the role of Troy in this episode. As they're trying to figure things out, and Picard and the rest of the crew are making assumptions about the Ferengi, Troy's the one who's kind of being the voice of reason, and she's the one saying, well, let's communicate with these Ferengi and stop lying to them, and let's tell them the truth. Or later she says, you know, we're just focusing on the Ferengi and we're totally ignoring the planet. And she doesn't usually have that kind of role, although I thought it worked really well for her. And almost like she was like the smartest person in the room, you know?
Yeah, because I noticed that too, where they're talking in circles, basically, in their conference, like, oh, give us some ideas, and they're like, oh, I don't know what to do, and then Troy's like, well, like, maybe we haven't given them a reason to talk to us, like, they need to hear something that they want to hear from us.
Let's talk to them.
It's been tried, no response.
But did we tell them anything they wanted to hear?
that changes, right? As the show goes forward, I kind of get the feeling that it does. Like she does less and less of that, and it becomes her character kind of becomes something else.
Picard and Riker are kind of dumb in this episode. Like they just can't figure out the most basic things. And it's Troy who's coming along going, well, what about the planet or what about this? You know, and I think the characters just get, they're just written as smarter as the show goes on. So then, you know, so Troy has less to do in that.
Everybody basically is catching up to Troy.
Yeah, everybody gets smarter. So then what is Troy going to contribute?
That's too bad. I kind of like the role she has in the first season where she's just kind of like, dumbasses, why didn't you think of this? You know, it's kind of neat.
I got this one!
Careful, Commander. They are much stronger than me.
Kill them!
No! Oh, I like that when they're on the planet, everybody gets their ass kicked. Tasha Yar is the one who saves the day. She's the one that comes in and like, okay, settle down, everybody.
A few times where she actually was in command of the situation and in control and doing something, you know, relevant to her job.
I've never heard the word to calm before.
Understandable. It has been extinct for 600,000 of our years.
What was the meaning of the finger trap? Like, I feel like something like that is a metaphor.
This is the gag.
For something, but it's throughout the entire episode.
Humanizing Data moment. You know, he discovers a human thing and he goes, what?
I always wonder, why is this there in the conference room? Why is he picking it up while they're looking at their holographic display? And then I finally realized watching it this time that there's those two kids playing in there. And then
yeah.
I never put those two together before. That's why the finger trap's there, because it was probably belonged to those kids.
I like that. I like that the kids were there and then Riker has to go in and shoo them out.
Yeah, well, it reinforced the fact that this is a ship full of families and you know, because they need to drop this stuff in there just to kind of remind the viewer that this is a huge community, basically, in space. Scientists and their families and everything. There's going to be kids underfoot.
I love this scene because of that sort of human kids moment. Like, they're not supposed to be in the conference room and they're being shooed away. And I just love how Brent Spiner is such a great physical comedian. And I'm just watching, you know, because all these exposition scenes are I always like them, but they're always very dry. Like it's like A, B, C, D, we're just talking about this thing. And suddenly you have this great comedic moment in the middle of the exposition, which feels a little out of place in the episode, but it's so well done. You are paying attention to that and you're entertained by this weird thing that was going on. And then while you're getting distracted, you're getting all this information.
I just got why it's a metaphor for the episode, because the two ships are connected like this.
Makes sense.
Could be. Yeah.
Could be. Or it could just be a gag. You know.
No, I feel like there has to be a meaning to it. I can't accept it unless there's something else there.
Okay, because so they're doing that thing on the planet and then they cut back to the Enterprise and then all the families are like really cold. And they're in that like room and it's dark and Picard's like, okay, so we transferred all the extra power to the family decks to hopefully it'll last longer, but there's like no hope now, we're all gonna die. And then Crusher's like, yeah, like Wesley's in my room and I considered giving him a sedative. And then Picard says, yeah, he deserves to face death awake. And I was like, this is really dramatic. I didn't realize that they were gonna like die right now of cold.
I was like, where's Wesley? Oh, he's in his room, probably crying alone.
Cold and shivering.
Cold and shivering in the corner, wondering where his mom is.
He's in our quarters. I was tempted to give him a sedative.
You shouldn't.
I know, but he's my son. I love him.
He has the right to meet death awake.
It is kind of an oddly serious scene in an episode that's kind of lighthearted in a lot of ways.
They didn't make it clear that the stakes were really high until they cut to that scene where it's like, okay, well, we're all dying. I hope that Riker is, you know, getting everything done because we're stuck up here. and we got 5 minutes to go. And so I just thought, I was like, oh, wait, like, there's a time limit here. Like, they didn't make any of that clear earlier, at least not from what I remember.
Yeah, I think it would have been a stronger episode if they'd established that early on, this ticking time bomb kind of thing, right? Like, they have a time limit. They have to solve this problem before, you know, everyone freezes and, like, on the ship.
The Ferengi being all weird would have been like, or being annoying would have been like stressful to the viewer, because it's like, okay, they need to get their stuff together so that they can move on and talk to the portal and get everything worked out. But it's kind of just like, they spend a whole bunch of time like fighting each other, but there wasn't any like tension to it. They were just sort of fighting, you know, tension climax type of thing.
Well, that's what I find weird about this episode too, is that it's like, I timed it out and it was, I think, 18 minutes into the episode before they actually start talking to the Ferengi. There's like, that's like a good portion of the episode, almost half of the runtime. And they basically spent this whole time just, oh, why is our power getting drained? Oh, let's talk about the Ferengi. And they just keep talking and talking. And I'm like, yeah, they wasted like half the episode just standing around talking about flags and talking about
flags. Red, white, and blue for the United States.
Whereas the French more properly used the same colors in the order, blue, white, and red.
And then they finally get to the meat of the episode. But yeah, it's like they could have been using that time much more wisely by building these stakes, like that there was this, you know, this life-endangering scenario unfolding, but you didn't get that vibe from the first part at all. There's kind of, well, geez, what's going on? I don't know. And they tried to, I think they were just trying to build anticipation for the Ferengi reveal, which of course fell flat, but you know, it was very weird pacing in that episode for sure.
I see where you're going. We ship down, then kick hard into warp 9. Yeah, come back, fight. Woo-wee!
Did anybody else find it weird that Geordi was like the chief engineer for 5 minutes in the episode?
Yeah. Well, I found it weird too how there's that at the end where he says,
"Can we do it, Geordi?
Ask me after it's done, sir.
Ask me after it's done." And then Riker's off camera and he says, "Give me everything you got, LaForge." And he goes, that was very weird.
"Give me everything you got, LaForge."
"Aye, aye, sir."
Okay, so let's do our ratings then. You start with you, Amir. Rating of the episode out of 5 starships.
I don't know. I'm going to rate it based on Alan's rating.
Alan, you go first.
Well, it's better than Code of Honor, but I wasn't as entertained as I was with Naked Now. So, I'll give it like a 2 out of 5 starships.
Okay, that's good. So I'll give it a 3. I'm going to give it a 3. So I liked it. I understand that there were problems. But overall, it felt like it was starting to become a regular kind of Star Trek Next Gen episode.
I'm going
to
give it 2.5 starships out of 5 starships. I'm giving it like a 50% because I think that's what it gave me.
It was a half-assed. They didn't use their whole ass in making this episode.
Exactly. Like,
so, one-cheek episode.
I like to rate things based on how much fun I had watching it. The Naked Now. Like, I would have given them one a higher rating just because I had a lot of fun watching it. Not necessarily because it's like the best episode I've ever seen.
You know, I think that's a good point, Lola. Like, I don't think there's been an episode so far that I haven't had fun watching. Oh, wait, Code of Honor. other than that.
You just try to block that one out of your memory.
I did. It doesn't exist.
I'm with Alan. I'm going to give it a 2 because it's definitely better than Code of Honor. It's not a bad episode. It's just a boring episode. Every time I've watched an episode, it just kind of puts me to sleep. I don't care. And it's too bad because it has some really good elements. I love the whole T'Khan Empire element. It starts building to something, but it ends up being about nothing. And so I give it a 2 out of 5 starships.
You know, I'm surprised. I thought, for some reason, I thought you'd like it. I thought you'd give it like a 3 or 4. I don't know why.
Well, because we leave room for like the actual good episodes. If we're rating these bad episodes at a 3, well, what is Tapestry gonna be? It's gonna be like an 8 out of 5 starships.
2 Ferengi Marauders out of 5.
Okay, so that was our review of The Last Outpost.
Review.
Bye, everyone. See you next week. Make sure to like and subscribe and leave a comment telling us your thoughts. You know, did you like this episode? Did you not like it?
We don't want to know people's thoughts.